Welcome to Fox Valley Church. My name is John Sitzler. I'm the lead pastor. I'm excited that you decided to listen to this message. Isaiah 61 states that we can be like great oak trees planted by the Lord. That's our goal for you. Yes, you. So as you listen to this message, be ready for what God wants to bring to your attention. I believe that you're going to encounter God as you listen. I really do. Are you ready? Let's discover what God has planned. We're going to continue in our series today called Priority, and we want to take the priority that Jesus had and put it into our lives as well. We have a huge, huge task ahead of us to reach all the way around the world. That's why this team is going. That's why our team is going to Costa Rica to help more and more people all over the planet hear about Jesus. But Jesus said, before you go, there's something I want you to do. So in Luke 24, 49, this has been our theme verse. He said, this is Jesus speaking, and now I'm going to send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. We have this important mission, but Jesus wants us to wait before we get involved with the mission. Jesus' priority was to wait. And we've been doing this season of waiting in our church. A lot of people have been spending some extra time in prayer or Bible reading, going on prayer walks. We've been doing this series on Wednesday night called The Waiting Room, where we're learning about waiting, where we're taking some time to learn how to actively wait, because we've discovered waiting isn't a complacent activity. It's not a thing to do because I'm bored. It's actually engaging more and more with the Lord, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that today and on Wednesday night as well. But Jesus says that he wants us to overflow with the Holy Spirit. He wants our lives to overflow. And we sang that song this morning, like a river, Holy Spirit overflowing out of our lives. That's what Jesus wants for us. So last week we talked about taking our next step with the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have another opportunity today to give your life to the Lord, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, renew your strength in the Lord, get back on mission, whatever it is that you need to do to take your next step and what God has for you to do. But here's the thing about waiting, right? Sometimes we don't know what we're waiting for. Have you ever been there in that situation? Everyone's standing around at work, and you just walk up, and everybody's standing around, so you're standing there too. And then all of a sudden, everybody in the group realizes, why are we standing here? And nobody really knows. You ever been in a situation like that? It's kind of strange. And sometimes we're waiting, like we're waiting in this season that God's calling us to wait, and we're not exactly sure what that next thing is that we're waiting for. And that's okay. It's okay sometimes not to know what we're waiting for, because God has something good for all of us when we wait on him. We learned on Wednesday night that we serve a God who works for those who wait on him. When we wait on the Lord, God is working, and he's working on our behalf in specific and unique ways to our lives. And we're not just, again, like I said, just standing around, but we're trying to get in to going into what God has. And I want to give you a little bit of an idea about not always knowing what you're waiting for. I want to tell you about the time that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was it's second grader. I was living in Farmington, Minnesota, a really small town. And we had kids' church, actually in a separate building. We all came to the main campus, and then they had an old building downtown. They'd put all of us elementary kids on buses. We'd go into town because the church was a little bit out of town. We'd go into town. We'd go to Sunday school class downstairs, and then we'd come up, and we'd all have kids' church together. And you may have heard this story before, but my kids' pastor, his name was Cowboy Carl. And he always wore boots, and he had a cowboy hat. I don't know how that works in Minnesota, but he's a cowboy. It was just amazing. And then one Sunday, he's just talking about the Holy Spirit. And then at the end of the service, he just says, okay, who would like to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? And, you know, like us kids, he's like, bow your heads and close your eyes so nobody peeking around. So the first thing every kid does is peek around. But I wasn't peeking around in that moment, because I was, even at 7 years old, I was just like, I feel like this is something that I want. I want God more in my life. And so he said, hey, if you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, raise your hand, and then you're going to come down in the front, and we're going to pray with you. So I had my head down, and I heard everything Pastor Carl was saying, and I raised my hand, and then he said, you know, everyone still got their heads down, their eyes closed. He said, okay, whoever raised their hand, come forward. Like, I don't know if Pastor Carl was paying attention or not, but I was the only kid who raised my hand. I don't know if he was trying to say, you know, come on down, and maybe some kids who didn't raise their hand would come on down. I don't know what happened. But I was the only kid. I came up to the front all by myself, but I didn't really care. I wasn't paying attention to that stuff. I just wanted what more of God had for my life, and I didn't even know what it was. I didn't really understand what the baptism in the Holy Spirit was and what being filled with the Holy Spirit meant, what living a life in the Spirit meant, what keeping in step with the Spirit really means, how to overflow in my life with the Holy Spirit. I didn't know any of that stuff. I'm 7. I don't know anything. But other than I just want what God has for me. So I responded and I came down, and then Pastor Carl invited whoever wanted to pray to come down. So when you're in kids' church, I did kids' ministry off and on throughout the years too. When you do kids' ministry like this, and you say, anybody who wants to volunteer to come down, you get about 50 kids coming your way. And so I was down in the front, and then I kind of, by this point, I'm finally starting to look around, and I realize I'm the only kid up here. But again, as a second grader, what do I know? And then all of a sudden, all these kids start coming out of their chairs, and I've got all of my friends are surrounding me. They got their hands on my shoulders. They got their hands on their shoulders. And then I'm just there, and I don't even know why I'm there, right? I'm just like that group is just standing there. I don't know why I'm here. I just want more of God. I don't know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. But I had all these kids praying for me, and Pastor Carl praying for me, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that building doesn't even exist anymore. I drove by there not too long ago. They've built an apartment building where that church used to be. But I could tell you somewhere between the first and second floor, right where I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, we had nice green carpeting, and it was kind of like avocado green, you know what I mean, from the 60s and 70s, you know where that came, because it was amazing. But and it was an old church that had stained glass and it was painted blue. I can tell you right here in my mind, I can remember it like it was yesterday. But that was 40 years ago. And I had no idea. And even if Pastor Carl could theologically explain it all to me, I still would have no idea. And he probably would not have been able to tell me all the different circumstances in my life and how God was always at work in my life and how the Holy Spirit was going to come and be involved in my life and the things he was going to have me do with my life. Because at 7 years old, I just said, God, I want, if your priority is for me to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's what I want. And it's been an amazing 40 years. Now, I can't honestly say I've been perfect that whole time. This is the thing about Christianity, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and all this crazy stuff. Even though the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, I still have control. And I still act like a knucklehead sometimes. Don't ask my wife to back that up, please. But the Holy Spirit was still there even when I wasn't doing everything that God wanted me to do. Even though I was wandering some different ways and trying to figure stuff out like what we all do. But the Holy Spirit, he opened a door. Jesus opened a door 40 years ago for me to walk into a different kind of life that I've been walking for 40 years. And what we're talking about, what Jesus said that we need to be waiting for, and he said, this is a priority for you. I want you, before you go on your mission, before you start reaching people for the kingdom, before you start making disciples, before you really even share with people outside of the group, I want you to wait and be baptized with the Holy Spirit before you go. Because if you wait, you're going to be so much more effective. You're going to have so much more power. You're going to be so much more enabled to do everything. There's so many things that I've done that I never thought I could do. You know, my missions trip when I was 17, we went to Mexico, and we went and did ministry in a Mexican prison. Not the most, the one thing the missionary said is don't let them take your ID. So the first thing they did when we got in the prison, they separated all us teenagers apart from each other, and they took my ID, and I'm like, what's going on here and here? And the second rule, they said, don't take any food or drink from the inmates because we don't know what that's going to do. So the second thing, the missionary comes and says, well, we did our ministry, we shared our testimonies, and so now they want to give us a drink, this watermelon water that they have. So we're going to drink it, and we're going to pray we don't get sick. So I just drank it right there in the middle of this prison, and I didn't get sick, thank the Lord. I got sick on my trip to El Salvador, but that's a whole different story. You know, I was given the opportunity to speak at my high school graduation in front of all of my classmates and all of their families. And the reason I was given the opportunity to speak is because the school didn't want to have a prayer. My class asked me to pray for graduation. The school said, you can't pray at graduation. So instead, we'll give you an opportunity to give a speech. So even though my whole school knew that I lived for the Lord, I was able to share Jesus at my high school graduation about a friend who sticks closer than a brother and how more than 2,000 years ago he died for me. I didn't understand at 7 years old that 10 years later I would be standing talking in a totally different town to a bunch of different kids and being able to share my faith, but the Holy Spirit gave me that opportunity. I listened to that speech a little bit later in the very beginning. You know, it's fun being a teenage boy because sometimes your voice is low and sometimes it's high and sometimes it just cracks right in the middle. Right when I started my speech about the friend who sticks closer than a brother, my voice just totally cracked and I was so nervous. But then about 5 seconds into it, I was able just to keep on going and the Holy Spirit enabled me to do something I never thought I could do. You know, I didn't know what we were going to be able to do for Kingdom Builders back in 2020 when our funding for global partners evaporated. And now we have more than 60 global partners that we're supporting on a monthly basis. And I mean, there's things that I don't know. You know, there's times that I've prayed for people. I remember a time when we were in El Salvador, somebody was ill, and I just said, hey, they're like, we're out in the middle of nowhere in this neighborhood in El Salvador, and this student comes to me and says, I just don't feel good. I don't know what's going on in my body. I can't hardly stand all these things going on, and I just knew, hey, we're going to pray. It was just me and this student. We prayed, and all of a sudden, every single symptom left their body instantaneously. If you would have told me at 7 years old that when I was in my 30s, that's what was going to happen, I wouldn't have understood that. But this is why this is a priority for Jesus, and it needs to be a priority for us. If we're going to move forward in our lives through not only what God wants to do in us, but what he wants to do through us, we have to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit so that we can keep moving forward. And you might be here today and be a little bit uncertain about what your next step is. That makes a lot of sense. Sometimes when we don't know, we don't want to step forward. I don't know about you, but I like to know every detail, and I like to have this major long plan before I do anything. If I could have it, you know, I'm not going to say some of these things that I have plans for because it's a little bit out of whack, but if you're considering making Jesus the Lord of your life, you may be nervous about taking that next step because you don't know what he's going to ask you to do. There might be things that you're going to have to give up that you don't really want to give up if he's actually going to be your Lord and your God. I just want to tell you don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know giving my life to Jesus makes it totally different and so much better, and I'm so much more capable. You might be here. You might be a little bit uncertain about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how can I be baptized in the Holy Spirit and what does that mean? And John's telling these nice stories, but that's John. He's a pastor. That's how that goes. Well, I wasn't a pastor when I was 7. I was just a kid in church who wanted more of God. But I just want to tell you, even if you have some things that make you feel a little bit uncertain about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can trust God. You can trust that Jesus said when he wanted us to receive this gift, that this was a gift he wanted for us and is good for us. And if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you don't, like last week we talked about, you're not experiencing the overflow of the Holy Spirit in your life, there may be some kinks in the hose. There may be, you know, the plug might be unplugged. There might be something, there might be something gunking up the works. There might be something in there, but the Holy Spirit can come in and help you move from the way that you think and your perspective and the way you want to do and help you get in because this life is really, really short that we live. And if we're really going to live for eternity, I want to make a difference. That's why our students are going to Kenya. That's why we got a team going to Costa Rica. That's why a lot of you give to Kingdom Builders on a regular basis. That's why we pray for our family and our friends and our coworkers who don't know the Lord, because we want to see a different eternity happen for them than what's happening. That's why we pray and use spiritual weapons to tear down supernatural strongholds that the devil has put up, because God wants us to move forward. He wants the world to change and go into what God has. And if we're not living in that overflow, even though it might be uncertain, what does that overflow actually mean and how do I work that out? It's okay to trust the Holy Spirit to help you walk through that stuff. He's my best friend that I've ever had. He understands me better than anybody else. He knows when I need a kick in the tail. He knows when I need an arm around my shoulder. And he can work through all of us. So let's get in and let's talk a little bit more about the baptism and the Holy Spirit. We're going to be in the book of Acts, and we're going to be jumping in several different places. But and if you've got the Bible app or our church app, you can find notes in there. They're going to be up on the screen as well. But Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5, it says this. Once when Jesus was eating with his followers, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Jesus died. He had been alive for a while. He's actually sitting down eating with his followers, and he says, "I've got a command for you. The Father has a gift for you." When was the last time you had to be commanded to receive a gift? But sometimes we do that to God. He's got an amazing life, but sometimes we got to get ourselves in gear and get moving where God wants us to go. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. Jesus is in heaven at this point, and the people have been praying for 10 days. They've been waiting for 10 days. They've been praying together every night for 10 days. And it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Can you imagine that? Now, some of you might be like, if that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm out this room, that's for sure. They didn't even know what to expect. They'd never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit before. They didn't know what this sound was all about. All they knew is they were praying and say, "God, give me what you have for me." And then verse number 3, it says, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire. Do you know what that word in the Greek first century word tongues translates out to be? A tongue. Can you imagine that? There's a flame of tongue over your head. These guys didn't know what to expect, and all of a sudden there's fire over their head. There's a sound of a windstorm, but there's no actual windstorm. And there's this fire over their heads. I mean, I'm not really making it easy on you, am I? And I really apologize for that. But it appeared and settled on each of them in verse 4. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. And it says in my Bible, the heading here is, the Holy Spirit comes. And I also looked into that word where it says they were all filled. You know what that word filled means? Fill. You know? The Bible's really complicated. You've got to learn the ancient languages to really understand it, that when the Holy Spirit wants to fill you, when Jesus wants to baptize you, he actually wants to fill your life with himself. God wants to not only be your friend, he wants to come inside of you and fill you up. And again, it's a mysterious thing, but it's not something we need to be afraid of. It can be a confusing thing, but it's something we can experience even though we don't completely understand it all. And when we're thinking about what are we waiting for, what is the gift, what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptism is just like when we baptize people in water. The word baptism actually means immersion, total dunk. The Holy Spirit, you're going to be just totally drenched, just like if you jumped into a pool or a pond or a lake, or you're just out in a rainstorm, you're just soaked head to toe. God wants to put himself on you so much that you're just drenched and dripping all over the place. When I was growing up and we were all wet or muddy coming in from the inside, my mom made us stop at the door. Sometimes we had to wait outside. Sometimes we had to get the hose and hose each other down and get all the mud off. And then we had to get a towel. And then we had to dry off before we could even get in the door. I'm just a boy having fun. Leave me alone, Mom. But sometimes we're not seeking to be dripping on the carpet like we should be. I don't know about you, but my life in the Spirit the Bible says, Jesus says, I have rivers flowing out of me. It's not a drip. I want everybody around me, near me, Christian, non-Christian, believer, not believer, somewhere in between. I want everybody to feel soaked when I get around. That's what I want. I want people to experience God right where they are. And Jesus had this priority. And he says, I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit before you start your ministry. We all have ministries that we do. And there's some who serve in the nursery, some in the pantry, some on the music team. We got ushers, tech. We got all kinds of life groups. We got all kinds of other stuff. We've got people doing all kinds of things around here. But do we start our ministry by saying, Holy Spirit, overflow from me before I pick up this little baby? Holy Spirit, overflow from me before I help somebody find a chair. Holy Spirit, overflow from me before I do anything else. We all have our particular ministries that we serve in, but we all have the same ministry that we're called to. And we need to be ready every single morning by saying, Holy Spirit, overflow out of me, because I don't know who I'm going to encounter today, but I know you want me to tell people about Jesus. So I want to make sure before I move from this spot that I am overflowing with your Spirit, so I'm ready to rock and roll whenever I have the opportunity. When we get ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter meals with family that we know aren't living for the Lord, have we been praying? Have we been taking extra time to wait? When we know we have an appointment for a sales call, and we know that that sales call may or may not be a sale, but we know we have the opportunity to influence for the Lord. Are we praying when our new neighbors move in, or when they're out cutting the grass, say, Holy Spirit, come and overflow out of me so that when I talk to them, the words are your words and not my words. And the words that I say aren't about convincing anybody, but allowing you to work through my life so that you get to their heart. It says that Peter got up on the day of Pentecost, and when he preached, the word sunk and stung people's hearts. When was the last time you spoke to somebody and your words pierced their heart? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and overflowing so that we don't have to try to convince everybody of all this stuff, but they just know God is there because you are there, the Holy Spirit's there, and your words are flowing tremendously out of your life. Now, this is pretty good because, you know, pastors can be baptized and overflow in the Holy Spirit. You know, Peter, you know, he's a saint and all that stuff, and all the 12 disciples, they can overflow with the Holy Spirit, but normal people, Well, the Bible says you're wrong about that. So we're going to talk about this town called Samaria. Everybody say Samaria. Samaria. Nobody in Israel liked the people from Samaria. They didn't like them at all. They didn't like them socioeconomically. They didn't like them culturally. They didn't like them spiritually. They built highways just to avoid going through that neighborhood. Well, in Acts chapter 8, we see what God thinks about people that other people think are less than. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says that Philip went to Samaria and he preached the message of the good news about Jesus. And as a result, many men and women were baptized. That means many men and women gave their life to Jesus Christ, because when they gave their life to Jesus, they got baptized right away. So God cares about their salvation. But he also cares that there's more, because in verse 14 it says this, when the apostles back in Jerusalem heard that the people in Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. In verse 15, as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, the Holy Spirit had not come on any of them yet, for they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. They were like, yes, we got to give you Jesus, and this is amazing, and this is what you need. But Jesus said, I have another priority that comes after that. Step one, salvation. Step two, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Step three, to infinity, live a life of overflow in the Holy Spirit. That was their practice. And he said this, even people that you don't like, even people that people others say are less than or less important, God said, I'm sending my message of salvation to them, and I want them to overflow with the Holy Spirit too. I love this because there's so much stuff that God wants to say and that he wants to do. Now, you might think, well, that's good for those Bible people 2,000 years ago, right? That's good for them. Good Bible people, they can have all this cool stuff, but not for non-Jewish, Israelite, Samaritan people. Well, you're wrong on that one too. Sorry, you're wrong a lot today. I don't know what you're... In Acts chapter 10, it tells this story of Peter going to this guy Cornelius' house. Peter had never been inside of a house of somebody who wasn't Jewish before. He lived his whole life knowing that if he did that, it would hurt his relationship with God, so he never did it. Even though God had ways of making people clean again if they went into somebody else's house, so you could actually go do that, go through the rituals and then get clean and you could go back to God, they kind of skipped that middle part of actually reaching out to people. And God had to supernaturally work in Peter to convince him to go. He had this strange vision about animals and all this different kind of stuff. And then at the end of the vision, they said, there's people knocking at the door, go with them. So he comes out of this vision. He goes with these guys to this guy's house. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, these people who aren't even Jewish, they're Roman by nature. It says this, even as Peter was saying these things, he was talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles too. Can you imagine being at church and God doing something spectacular? Like, I never thought God would work in their life. But it's worse than that. Can you imagine? You're at home in your prayer time. God gives you a vision. He says, go to these people who are knocking on your door. And as soon as you end the vision, there's a knock on your door. Some people are there. They say, come to the house. You go to the house and you take your buddies with you and you're telling them about Jesus in their house. And as you're telling them about Jesus, they just begin to get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in an unknown language. And they're just like, what is happening? But we're often nervous just to even share with a family member or a friend about our life for the Lord. But that's why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we need to overflow with the Holy Spirit and what he's doing and how he wants to move and how he wants to work and how he wants to act. In verse 46, they heard them all speaking in other tongues and praising God. Now, again, this is still Bible people, and the Cornelius was actually somebody who helped the Jews in his community. You know, he was kind of friendly to God. He thought God was the God of Israel was cool, and he helped even with the community, with the Jewish people in his community. So he could probably deserve to receive the Holy Spirit. So that's a good one. But people, you don't understand the things that I have done wrong. And you might be sitting here today and say, how could God, first of all, ever save me from the stuff I've done wrong and redeem my life from it? But also, why would he put and come and live inside of this mess? Well, you're wrong again, I'm sorry to tell you. Because there's a man who actually was a witness at the first time somebody ever killed a Christian. And he approved of what was going on. And it emboldened him to oppress all the Christians that he could, so much so that he got letters of authority from the government in Jerusalem to go to other countries and other cities and arrest people, tie them up, drag them off, and put them in prison. And I want to tell you his story next in Acts chapter 9. There's this man named Ananias. He went and found Saul, and he laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. This guy had done nothing except oppose what God was trying to do his entire adult life. And God said, I want to fill him with my Spirit too. So whether you are a churchy person or a non-churchy person, whether you are high society or low society or anywhere in between, whether you have your act totally all together or your act is trying and fooling nobody, to be honest with you, God wants to fill you with this Holy Spirit and help you to move forward in what God has for you. Here's another cool story in Acts chapter 19, because you might just think, you know, it's that little area, but the whole point of Acts is to say, we're starting out here in Jerusalem, but we're going to take the whole planet. And the next step is this, Acts chapter 19. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior until he reached Ephesus on the coast. Now, this is the Mediterranean, Turkey, Greece area, where he found several believers. And he said this, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. And you might be here today, and you might be, what is John even talking about? That's very biblical. There's a lot of times that I'm reading and thinking and through stuff, and I don't even know, and I don't understand, but then the Holy Spirit just comes in and helps. In verse number 3, Paul says, what baptism did you experience? The baptism of John. And then verse 4, John's baptism was about repenting of your sin. Quit doing the wrong things you're doing. Step 1. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, the story of Jesus, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then verse 6, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. The priority of Jesus had translated so far that years later, when there's this guy who was nothing but horrible to the church, was actually out there planting churches, and his biggest question to people who believed in God, believed in Jesus, his top priority, his first thing in talking to them was, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet? It was a priority for him. He wanted them to have a life that overflows in the Holy Spirit. This series is called Priority because Jesus' priority then and now is that not only we be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but our life overflows with the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you this question. Have you put your faith in Jesus yet? If you're here today or you're watching online and you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, don't wait another second. There's a reason you're sitting in church. There's a reason you've been in church this whole time. There's a reason you're watching. It's time to turn your life over to Jesus. And the second question I have for you, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And if you haven't, Jesus' priority is that you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Paul's priority is that you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. My priority for you is to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you have received the Holy Spirit, maybe at some point you were baptized in the Spirit, how is your character development going? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus, or are you becoming more and more like the world? Are you overflowing with the Holy Spirit, or you just got a little bit of dampness maybe on your forehead or maybe a little bit on your hands? Maybe you're even kind of dripping a little bit on the carpet. But can you say, honestly, there are actual rivers flowing out of you? Because that's the life Jesus wants for you. He wants you to have a life that overflows by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk real quick here about how to know for sure that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We use the same thing that Peter did, the same thing the church did in the first century. How do we know if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit? So Peter got in trouble for going to this guy's house he wasn't supposed to go to. We don't go by those people, but Peter went there anyway. So when he got back to church, everybody's like, Peter, you're a knucklehead. What are you doing? You shouldn't have done that. And so Peter tells us his excuse. In Acts chapter 11, verse 15, Peter says, I began to tell them about Jesus, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought, the Lord's words, what he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I going to stand in God's way? And then when the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. We can see God also gives Gentiles the privileges of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. Everybody was mad at Peter for going to share Jesus with somebody. That's how twisted our brains can get sometimes, especially in these people were probably filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. But Peter said, I'm going to live a life of overflow, and I'm going to have this crazy vision, and I'm going to go with these people I've never met before, and I'm going to tell people Jesus. And while I'm telling people Jesus, they're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit just like I did. Just like 7-year-old John has been happening countless millions of times throughout the last 2,000 years, God has been doing the same thing. And the people were excited, and they began to get excited because they heard the sign of what had happened, that they began to speak in an unknown language, and they were all celebrating then. We need to start to begin to celebrate more often when people come to Jesus. Now, I know we do that here in church, but we need to celebrate that all the time. We need to be looking to celebrate and have opportunities to praise God for people getting saved. And the way we do that is by sharing Jesus with people so that they can get saved. And how are we going to do that if we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit? And that's what we need to be focused on. This was Jesus' priority. It's our priority. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is an indicator that someone has given their life to Jesus. That's what they found out. If someone is baptized in the Holy Spirit, the only prerequisite for being baptized in the Holy Spirit is that you have faith in Jesus. At 7 years old, I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't know how to drive a car. Had a hard time even brushing my teeth. You know what I mean? Get a seven-year-old to brush her teeth. That's something. Couldn't clean my room very well. You know, we were counting money in first grade. Remember that? You figured out what a nickel is and what a quarter is, and you tried to figure that stuff out. I didn't know anything. But I had faith in Jesus, and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's what changed everything. They said, hey, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we know that you have faith in Jesus, and then we also know that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the first church and Peter found out that speaking in an unknown language revealed that someone was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what we're waiting for, an answer to the question we've been talking about, we've been waiting this whole time. We're waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is evidenced by speaking in an unknown language. In Acts 15, years later, Peter is in trouble again. Peter likes to get in trouble. You remember, I just read it this week where Peter got yelled at by Jesus. Like Jesus called Peter Satan one time. It was amazing. If he hasn't called you Satan yet, you're in pretty good shape. But he loved Peter through that mess anyways. But years later, Paul is out preaching to people, and they're having to have this whole extra meeting because some people in church are mad again. Some people are even baptized in the Holy Spirit are mad again at people who are reaching out to people who don't know Jesus, and the church gets mad when we reach out to people who don't know Jesus. And so they have to have this gigantic meeting, bigger than the meeting that Peter had in the first place when he first got in trouble. Now Paul's in trouble the second time, and they get all the church leaders together, and Peter tells the story again. He says, guys, remember what happened to us all those years ago when we were waiting on God, when we were following Jesus' priority to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit? Remember that time? The same thing that happened to us is happening to everybody else. So let's get past all this garbage and let's focus on the priorities that Jesus has for us. Worldwide evangelism empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's do this, and let's live lives that overflow. Do you know what the difference between Peter and Paul and you and me are? They probably spent more time on Jesus' priority. They probably spent a little bit more time waiting on God to do, and they probably spent a little bit more time obeying what God said to do. That's the only difference. There's nothing super special about these guys. Remember, Peter was called Satan by Jesus himself. It's any one of us can do amazing things for God. That's why we're sending teenagers to Kenya, because we don't know, somewhere in the airport or either traveling or on the plane or sometime when they get touched down, they're going to have an opportunity to share Christ with somebody. And if they're overflowing with the Holy Spirit, it's not about the words that they're going to use. It's the Holy Spirit moving and working and doing something. And guess what? You don't even have to go to Kenya to do that. You can do that in the Fox Valley. You can live this life of overflow. So here's your homework. It's going to take you 28 days. I just want you to read through the book of Acts. If you do one chapter a day, take you 28 days. It doesn't even take that long. If you want to go faster, go faster. But I just want you to see how God uses regular people like you and me. I mean, their names were Peter and Paul. Their names weren't that fancy. He uses people like John. I mean, my goodness. My middle name is Mark. You can't get more plain than me. Sharice, would you come? So, this is what we've been waiting for. We're a Pentecostal church. We're a Spirit-filled church, and I can talk more about that some other time. We're part of the Assemblies of God, Pentecostal. And I want you to live a life that overflows with the power of the Holy Spirit, not only to change your character, but to empower you to change the world. We can do this. We can see our friends and families and neighbors find Jesus. And God wants to use us to do it. He doesn't need to send anybody else. He's got you and he's got me. We've got some new neighbors who are moving in, and at Life Group, we prayed, Lord, help us to have influence and opportunity. Well, I'm going to create the opportunity. I'm just going to go over there. And the reason I just go over there is because that's what a Holy Spirit person does. That's what a follower of Jesus does. Jesus' priority is that everybody comes to faith in Christ. That's what he wants. But if I go over there without having 40 years of living life in the Holy Spirit, I'm probably going to mumble and fumble, and I'll probably get the story of Jesus out in some way. And they may believe me, they may not. But as I pray for people that I'm trying to reach, and I ask the Holy Spirit to work on their lives, and I open my mouth and I get involved in their life, and I live a life of character and holiness before them, and I begin to share with them, that when my words actually come out of my mouth, I got a ton of credibility, but also it's not my words, it's the Holy Spirit river flowing out of me. You ever stood in front of a fire hydrant before? When I was a kid in elementary school, the fire department would let the water out every once in a while. All of us kids could go play in the water. Dude, you stand in front of that water, you're getting knocked out. I don't know why our parents let us do that. I guess it was the 70s and 80s, and they didn't care about safety then. But anyway, I want the people around my life to get knocked out by the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Not physically falling down so they get injured, but they just feel so much of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit in regard to righteousness, repentance, a changed life, understanding that Jesus is true and he's amazing, and then they can have the same Holy Spirit living inside of them and flowing so that their mom and dad and friend and coworker and roommate can find Jesus too? Now imagine this. What if we all pointed the same direction at one time? Imagine the rivers flowing out of this church. And not just this church, but God is working in churches around the world and around the valley. And he's bringing some kind of spiritual renewal where people are open to him. And he's getting ready to bring in. There's people ready to find Jesus out there. We just got to go into the field and get him. We can't do that if we're not overflowing in the Spirit. We can try, and we can do our own best effort, but then we're acting like 7-year-old John trying to change out an engine in a truck. That's not going to happen. But you take 7-year-old John and the power of the Holy Spirit, anything is possible. Anything is possible. And anything is possible in Jose and in Tim and in Al and in Ann and in Jill and in Mark and in Eric and in Jake, even Dwayne and Bill. Certainly Roy and Dee. Aaron Schilp, probably. I'm a man of faith. All of us. We're going to pray that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have our prayer teams in just a few moments. But I wanted to share some stories of some people. And you may or may not know these names. If you're churchy, you may recognize some of these names. The churchiness is kind of important, but their story is more important. Charles Finney says of his experience, "As I turned and was to take a seat by the fire, I received the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impressions like a wave of electricity going through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love. For I could not express it in any other way. I wept aloud with joy and love, and I do not know, but I should say I literally bellowed the unutterable gushings of my heart." That's how he described his experience. Now, some of you, that might make you a little bit nervous, but we got some more stories here. It's really good. In 1899, at the funeral of D.L. Moody, it was said that Moody was baptized with the Spirit and knew that he was. It was to him as definite an experience as his conversion. Moody himself said, the blessing came upon me suddenly like a flash of lightning. 4 months. 4 months. That's the waiting, folks. 4 months. I had been hungering and thirsting for power in service. I had come to that point that I think I would have died if I'd not got it. I remember I was walking the streets of New York. It wasn't even at church. I had no more heart in the business I was about than I had not belonged to it, the world at all. Right, it's from 1899, so the wording is kind of weird, so I apologize. Right there on the street, the fire of God seemed to come upon me so wonderfully that I asked God to stay his hand. I was filled with a sense of God's goodness, and I felt as though I could take the whole world to my heart. This happens years after I was converted. Here comes a good one. F.B. Meyer said, I left the prayer meeting. I crept out into the lane away from town. As I walked, I said, Oh God, if there's a man who needs the power of the Holy Ghost to rest upon him, it is I. But I do not know how to receive him. I'm too tired, too worn, too nervously down to agonize. A voice said to me, As you receive forgiveness from the hand of the dying Christ, take the Holy Ghost from the hand of the living Christ. I turned to Christ and said, Lord, I breathe in this whiff of warm night air, so I breathe into every part of me thy blessed spirit. I felt no hand laid upon my head. There was no flame. There was no rushing sound from heaven. But by faith, without emotion, without excitement, I took and took for the first time. And I have kept on taking ever since. And if I can be a little bit pushy today, Finney also said this. This was a command from Jesus Christ. And we can no more ignore this command of Christ than do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not have any other God before me. This was a command. It's a command for a gift. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. And if you're a guest today, I hope you felt welcomed. And normally I'm out there greeting guests, but make sure you stop at the information center. But we're going to have some time up here to pray for people. And if you want to stay and pray with us, you can stay at your seat and pray. If you've got a friend who wants to receive the Holy Spirit and they come, you can come and stand behind them and we'll pray together. But the priority of Jesus Christ is that we live a life that overflows with the Holy Spirit. If you've not given your life to the Lord, today is your day. You can come down and talk to one of us here that will pray with you and talk with you. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can come and we'll pray with you. We're not going anywhere until we pray for everybody. If you're living your life and it's not an overflow of the Holy Spirit, come and we'll pray with you that you can live a life that just bursts out of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I just pray in these next few moments that you would help us to fulfill your priority and baptize people in your spirit. Because more than anything, we want more and more people to put their faith in you and live a different kind of life. So Lord, I pray for each one who's hungering and thirsting for you, that they would give their life to you for the first time. They would rededicate their life to you. They would seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or they would seek a life that overflows in the Spirit, because we want to be about your business, Lord. We want to see this world changed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now come and pray if you want prayer, or head towards the door. God bless each and every one. Like I said at the beginning, God had something specific to talk to you about today, and I'd encourage you to take a step right now. What is something you could actually do based on what God brought to your attention? It could be the action step that was brought out in the sermon, or it could be something different. Just take a step. The Bible says when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. If you're ever in our area, we invite you to participate in person during one of our Sunday worship services. In the meantime, to keep up with everything our church is doing, go to foxvalley.church or download our app and search Fox Valley Church wherever you get your apps. God bless you.